is likened to gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. The work's going to be tried by fire. What is it? You know, obviously, things get, though gold and silver can be melted down. The whole point is the gold standard. You know, gold is always good as gold. Gold is refined by fire. So is silver. You know, these are obviously, he means these as the good things. It's not whether or not they melt or whether or not, you know, but the idea is, well, what is it? We're going to test it. It's going to be manifest. The work, what it is going to be made known. The day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire. So the fire is going to test the works, what kind of work it is. So it's got to abide. And if it abides, as if it's gold or silver, but those things abide. Wood, hay, stubble. The fire will declare what it is, and it will be burned up. You know, it will not abide. And what will happen then? If his work is burned up, or literally to burn down, actually, is what that word means. To burn down or consume wholly. He shall suffer loss. Suffer loss is literally injure or experience detriment. But he himself shall be submitted, meaning whatever he did is it's a wash, it's a loss. That is lost. It doesn't mean the guy is lost. But again, this is under the assumption your foundation is correct. Some people think that, like, well, you just believe in Jesus and no matter what. No, no, no. You got to have the foundation of the doctrine of Christ. That is what we have faith in. Now, God can make exceptions in anything he wants to. But if, as an instructor of the Word of God, I would be remiss. What the heck do I mean by that? I would be negligent in my duty to you if I were to give you false assurances. Oh, you don't have to. People who do that, who minimize. You know, and the apostles, I always see them maximizing. They're always pushing us forward harder. Pushing us forward to something more excellent. Something more divine. They never are downplaying things. Minimalizing. What are the minimum requirements for salvation? I remember reading in the... I one time read the Catechism of the Catholic Church like 10 years ago or so. And they're saying how what they do is they give you the minimum requirements. You know, like when you go to high school. You know, what are the minimum requirements to pass? You know, that's legal loopholism at this, you know, God, we don't want minimum. How can you get minimum requirements for divine, you know, whatever requirements God gives us, it's not some heavy thing he's laying on us. It's a gift. But hey, it's so hard. It's only hard because of the lust in your members. And that's because, and really, if you have the mind of God, And I'm going to be patient with you, brother, that you come along, you know, but at first I know sometimes it's daunting because you think, wow, all that, that's sure is different than the way I've lived my life, but believe on it. Believe the gospel. Jesus died to deliver you, not just to impute, but also to give, not just to reckon. Imagine if that was the way Santa Claus treated you. Though I suppose it's taboo to bring in Santa Claus when you're talking about God, because it's sort of like, hey, you know. But still, you know, what if Santa Claus said, you know, on Christmas he just brought a list. See, I've imputed to you, I've reckoned, a bicycle. To be delivered at some other time. Not in this present world. And as soon as you die, Susie, you can collect. That is sort of, you know, the thing I use from James. And I love the analogy James gave. It's like someone comes to you and says, hey, they're, you know, they're hungry, they're naked, and this is God. He's, you know, you come to God, you're sinful. And it's from James chapter 2. And he says, the person comes to you hungry and naked, and you say, be warm and filled, but you don't do anything to fill them or warm them. And it's like God coming to us and saying, be righteous, be holy, but he doesn't do anything to help you. He just marks it down. One righteous person. Okay, go back to your life. Again, that's just foundational. The things built on there are the works you do in Christ. Whether it be like teaching. Now, teaching, like what I'm doing here, just instructing people in the Word or even preaching the gospel, that's building on the foundation. Now I'm building something. The words that I speak are something I'm building. Now, they may be foundational words that I'm speaking, but there's a foundation laid in me of the things I believe in and the things I have in God. That foundation is laid. And now I'm building on it by working in the ministry. That's my works. And all kind, you know, you can do service to people. You can do all manner of things beyond just, you know, remembering the poor, remembering the fatherless and widows. There's all, I mean, those things are not to be despised one bit. We're not just, you know, Christianity is just not this self-improvement club. Though, like Jesus says, you've got to get the beam out of your own eye before you go picking at the dust in someone else's eye. So you can see clearly. We have to go from being babes to growing up into Christ. We got to grow up into that full-grown man, which is the fullness of the stature, the image of Christ. Verse 16, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come. All are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's.